Hey, a couple things. I want to welcome you guys in person. I want to welcome if you are online watching. We are glad that you are with us. My name's Pastor Zach. I get to be the pastor of students, pastor of creative arts. So kind of anything that happens up here on stage, worship, the band, I get to do all of that, and it is a privilege. And I know Amanda's already mentioned this, but Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jim, they're both in Costa Rica right now. And I want to just take a minute to pray for them. And there's a couple other things. I just saw, looking through the comments, people online. Denise Hanley, if you guys know who that is, she fell a second time in her driveway this week. And that's why she's not here today. Just saw it in the comments on YouTube as the live stream was going. So I want to take a minute to pray for Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jim. I want to take a moment to pray for Denise and also anyone else that obviously has been affected by ice this week, frozen pipes. I know there are people in this room that have family in Texas. I know some of my wife's family is also in Texas, and it's cold in Texas. Not today, but some of the residual effects. I just want to kind of pray over all of those things. So if you're online, if you're in this room, you guys just go ahead and bow with me and really just want to take a moment to go to the Lord right now. God, we come to you and we thank you, God, for who you are. And we know there's so much going on right now in our world. And we literally don't have the time to pray for every single thing that needs to be prayed for and every single thing that needs to be lifted to you. But God, we do want to entrust a few things to you. God, we pray for Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jim. Both of them are speaking today. And that their words would literally penetrate the hearts of the people there, that they would hear the gospel, maybe for the first time. Maybe they're hearing it again, and it's going to rejuvenate their faith. God, we lift them to you. Give them, God, give them strength. Give them confidence, God, in who you are, the way that you're working, God, through them. I also want to lift up Denise right now. She's at home. And any maybe injury that could have come from the fall, God, that you would bless her, you would heal her. And I'm so grateful that she's still able to log in and hear your word and to worship with us. But God, we lift her up to you. God, we lift up the entire United States, all the storms that have gone on this week and the effects moving forward and the things that have happened. But God, we especially lift up Texas. Again, I know people in this room have family there that maybe don't have power or they don't have water anymore because the pipes are no longer there and they're having to pay, you know, $5,000 for electric bill or $10,000 for electric bills. God, we lift them to you. We pray for your provisions, God, that you would work through the state, God, through the president, through the National Guard, whatever things are implemented to help them. God, we lift that to you, and we trust in you and who you are. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we all prayed. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys. I just think it's good to lift those things up. So as we get started this morning, we are in our series called Connect the Dots. And here's the idea behind this whole series. Pastor Kevin did a week, Pastor Jim did a week, and then last week as we all sat at home, drank hot cocoa in front of the fireplace, because that's what it was like for everybody, right? Gary was here and spoke, and we were able to get you guys just a quick live stream going last week. But this is week three in Connect the Dots. And we want to help you build better relationships. All of us are in relationships in all parts of our lives. And we believe that throughout Scripture, God gives us dots. If you remember as a kid, remember those things you had to connect like 75 different dots? When you got done, it was a house. Like you originally look at the picture and it's just a bunch of dots on the page. And then it's like, oh, one to two, to, you know, you do all that. And you're like, oh, this is really cool. That's the idea behind this series, is we're going to go through 7 or 8 weeks and pull different things out of Scripture and say, hey, this applies to relationships and this. And as we connect all those, we believe that we as a community and you as an individual will have better relationships in your life. Relationships are wonderful. They're vital. We're in relationship literally in this room, people at home, work and school, friends, family, church, sports teams, neighbors. Relationships are vital. They are a part of everything. They are the way God has built us. But relationships are also not easy. Am I right? Relationships can be difficult at times. And I think sometimes in our relationships, we need to simply call a timeout. And we need to say, hey, hold on, let's look at a couple things. Let's look at some boundaries. Let's look at some expectations. Let's look at some guidelines on how this relationship right here is going to work. Before I got hired here, I actually worked at State Farm, and I sold insurance for about 8 months, kind of waiting for God to give me that next job. And this idea of taking a time out, Roger Clark, he's the agent there, and I worked for him, and he said it almost every day. We'd bring a problem to him, or we'd bring something to him, and we were like, stressed, what are we doing? He's like, hold on, time out. Slow down, breathe, let's figure out what is going on here, and then make a decision moving forward. And I think that's what we need to do in our relationships sometimes. And part of that is because we have people in our lives that can completely get out of control. Anyone have a 3-year-old in their house? Then you understand someone can get out of control in your life. Or you're a grandparent, and then you bring the grandkid in, and when they leave, you're just like, oh, what happened to our home? I remember Jim saying that once. He's like Thorne came over, and after Thorne left, he was just like, our house is gone. Like, it's like a tornado came running through the house. We feel that all of the time. So here's I'll just tell you a quick story about Oliver. So Oliver turns 3 on Wednesday. We actually put him in a literal timeout last month, and it went awful, okay? So I pray for no judgment. I tell you these stories expecting that you will encourage me back, not judge us, hopefully, but you might after this. So we put him in timeout, and we had read different stuff, do it here, do it against the wall, do it in a corner, do it here. And for some reason, we just decided, you know what, it's right now it works to just put you in your bedroom because it's kind of a confined room with one entry, one exit. I guess he could go out the window. He doesn't do that. But one entry, one exit, right? And it wasn't working. He was belligerent. He was on the floor, screaming, hitting the floor. You know, Kelsey's like in the doorway, like trying to keep him in the room. She's in the hallway. And she does something we've only done once because we've never done it since. She shut the door and locked it. Okay? She said, we're going to give him 60 seconds. We're going to give him 60 seconds. We'll open it right back up. And then we hear these sounds like the room is blowing up. Like we have no idea what's going on. So we get like the little key that comes with doors for houses, not like a regular one, but the little itty bitty one that you kind of put in. And obviously it takes forever to try to get it in there. And we open it, and this is the scene that we see. And I've told a couple people here this story. The curtains are off the wall. I mean, this man went up, became Hulk, that's his kind of thing. He grabbed each curtain and ripped the rods out of the wall. Now, I didn't put anchors up when I hung our curtains, okay? I didn't want to. I thought, you know, as long as he never hangs on the curtains, we'll be fine. Well, he hung on the curtains. He ripped both of them out of the wall. You can see the screw holes and the powder from the drywall. Then he takes the curtains off the rods, separates the rods, and comes at the door like a crowbar. Boom, boom. The entire back, we have white doors in our house. Entire back of the door is just black spots all over it from where he beat the snot out of this door. This is somebody in our life out of control. And some of your faces are like, wow, I thought our kid was bad. We could pray right now and you'll go home encouraged. Like just that story alone and you're encouraged. But here's what I did. Let me grab something real quick. If you're online, sorry, I'm probably not on the screen. There we go. This is a little ottoman that we bought. Not very big. But this is a boundary that we had to put in our timeout life, in our relationship with Oliver. He no longer, since that moment, has ever been in timeout by himself. So we walk him in his room. Well, sometimes we are kind of dragging him to his room. You know how that works. They let go. I never knew someone could go limp until I met a child. I mean, everything goes limp, and you try to pull them, and they're just dead weight, right? Dragging them down the hall. So we get in there, and what we do now is we shut the door. We stay calm. Try to. We set this in front of the door, and we sit on it. And we don't really communicate as much with him. We let him go through his tantrum, get his emotions out, do whatever he needs to do, but we can make sure he's not doing pull-ups on the, you know, the curtain rod, stuff like that, pulling dressers over, going out the window. We can sit and watch him. And that's a boundary that we have had to put in our life with our child, 3-year-old, okay? Because he's out of control sometimes. And that's a boundary that we had to implement. We just had to say, hold on, timeout. We literally had to call a timeout in timeout to figure all of this out. For some of us, we have someone in our life that is controlling, This is probably how he sees me. Daddy said no. He likes to go to mom and say that sentence. Daddy said no. Yes, daddy said no, because the last time you're in your room, you ripped the curtains off the wall. No, you can't climb in the fridge. No, you can't jump off the counter. Like, that's not going to work right now. Sometimes we have someone that is out of control in our lives. And sometimes we have someone that's controlling. I talked to a buddy the other day, and this was just a difficult conversation. But he was telling me, he said, you know, my parents are actually very controlling, and it has really hurt our relationship with them. And what happened is he and his wife, they have a little girl, about two, and his parents would tell them how to parent. And they would actually try to control what they did with their kids, how they did with their kids, certain time stuff, to the point that during holidays, like, they would go to her family's first at Christmas time. Let's say they went from there to 3 to 5, and then they had to be at his parents', let's say, 5:30 to 7:30. But if they showed up at 5:45, oh, his parents knew. I mean, hey, you're 15 minutes late. You spent more time with them. That's not okay. That's not going to work. And he had to look at his parents and say, hey, I love you so much, but we need to call time out. Because this, what you're doing right now in our relationship and with my wife and our marriage and our kids, it's not going to work. I had a coworker of my wife say this the other day. This was Friday. Got my hair cut and was talking to one of her coworkers. She said, I need to implement boundaries because I keep giving and giving, and at some point there won't be any more to give. My cup will be empty. And that is a huge reason why we have to implement boundaries in our lives, some guardrails, some expectations, so that our cup doesn't empty, and so that we get to the point where we start becoming harsh with people or impatient with people. Here's what Proverbs 4:23 tells us. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I want you to literally just take a moment where you're sitting, if you're in here, if you're at home, and think through this verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And when we don't have those boundaries, when we don't guard our heart, our cup runs low. I actually looked up the word guard in the Hebrew is the same word that's used for someone that's in custody or someone that's actually like you need to keep watch at night. We don't really do that today, but someone that needs to keep watch at night or a lookout or even the word used for jail. It's this word of whatever this is so important. It has to be guarded in this manner. And God tells us that he says you need to put up boundaries. You need to guard your heart. It makes me think of Bella Vista. We live in Bella Vista, and anytime you're driving through Bella Vista, you're either doing this or you're doing this. And there's guardrails literally everywhere that you're driving because there has to be boundaries, making sure we don't go where we're not supposed to, making sure cars are being where they're supposed to. And sometimes life is like that. Matthew 15:17-18, Jesus tells us the same thing about our heart. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. Referring back to Proverbs, everything we do flows from our heart. We have to guard our heart. And so as we look at boundaries, and we're going to get to a couple specific ones here in just a minute, but as we look at boundaries, I think there are two elements that make up boundaries. And God talks about them all over Scripture. Here's the first one. When we're in relationships with people and we're saying, hey, this we need to call a timeout. We need to slow down. We need to talk about what this looks like. The first thing, the first element that needs to be a part of that conversation is grace. There has to be grace given. Here's what Colossians 3:12-13 says. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. If you were to summarize all of those put together, I would say grace is a pretty good word. To be gracious towards others. You know, he uses a bunch of different things here. He says compassionate hearts. That's the idea of being sympathetic towards someone. Kindness, to be friendly or generous or considerate of others and what they're going through. Humility, seeing others as important. This is really cool. As I kind of studied for this and really kind of worked through this, I realized when you're implementing a boundary in a relationship, it's not just, it's not just for you. It's also for the other person. It can help them become a better person, a better friend, a better family member, whatever it may be. It lifts them up as well. Seeing others as important. Meekness, to be gentle or to be mild. That's the opposite of being harsh. I know this one and the next one, patience. These two together, man, when I get home on Friday, I feel like I'm done for the week. Like I've worked all week and I'm exhausted and I have about 10 seconds of patience when I walk in my house. That's how I feel. And I have to think through some of this. Like if I don't walk in and be gentle, if I don't walk in and have patience, then I will be harsh. And I know that about myself. I love my mother-in-law and father-in-law. He kind of has, I guess this is kind of a boundary in his life, I would say. When he gets home on Fridays, there's two things. We're ordering pizza, we're watching a movie in the bedroom. That's their, I mean, nothing else. Nothing else. That's Friday night. The work week's over. I need to rest. Pizza and a movie, that's what Friday night brings. And that's a boundary that he has kind of had to put in his life. The final thing Paul mentions here is forgiveness. We have to have all of these things. And again, I want to summarize those and say, we have to be gracious in our relationships. We have to have grace. But then there's kind of the opposite of that. We also need to have truth in our relationships. Ephesians 4:15 says this, instead, speaking the truth in love. Don't miss that part. Speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And we have to balance these two things. And I'll be honest on my end, trying to balance these two things in my life, I almost always err on the side of truth. And what happens is that makes me become a little too harsh sometimes, not have enough patience, not have enough grace, not have enough love. And instead I'm like, no, you did wrong. It's over. It's done. Instead of being a little slower to act and a little bit slower to speak. And so when it comes to relational boundaries, we need to balance grace and truth. Okay, let's get to a couple boundaries. These are kind of broad ideas. And really my goal behind this is to give you these two and then you can take these and implement them in your lives. All of us have different contexts. The way we relate to people, our own personalities, their personalities, the actual relationship itself, if it's a coworker, if it's a boss, a spouse, a child, like what some of the stories that I've told this morning, whatever it may be, you can then apply these concepts. Boundary number one, love without rescuing them. Let me say that one more time, love without rescuing them. And I want to be clear on this because to me, this is a sensitive kind of topic, and it's tough. This is a really hard thing to do in a relationship. But when you say, you know what, I do love you, but I can't literally save you from whatever that thing is, and I can't let you pull me down with you. But I still love you, and I'm here for you. But once I'm pulled down with you, then we're both kind of done. Pastor Jim mentioned, you know, I was talking with him about this week. He grew up as a surfer out in California. And one of the things for them, man, if someone's like out in the ocean and waves and stuff, if you go out and try to save them, there's chances you may not actually make it back yourself. And so to be able to love them, you throw something out to them. That is your love. But man, you go out and try to rescue them and then you both don't make it through. That's kind of the idea with this, is to love somebody without rescuing them. I found this sentence, I'm just going to read this. Rescuing, also called enabling, happens when a person feels the responsibility to minimize the consequences of someone else's bad choices. And guys, again, I know this is sensitive and this is hard. I've seen this in my family. I've seen this in my life. We say things like, man, if I could just pay that bill for them this one time, they'll be good moving forward. You know, if I could just get them in our house for a couple weeks, then they can kind of figure whatever it is out. If I could just bail them out, if I could just do this for them, and the list goes on, and we're like, we just want to save you, we just want to save you. But in the attempts to do that, there is that the probability that we then lose ourselves and we lose our love and our patience and our ability to love those around us. Paul talks about this in 2 Thessalonians. This is a really cool verse, a section of scripture that I found this week. And in the context here, he's writing to a church. He's literally writing to a body of people, and they're struggling with unity within their church. And here's what he says. This is 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 15. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Probably gossip is what that's talking about there. Verse 12. Now such persons we command and we also encourage. We encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with them, that they may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Now, let me give a little bit of explanation and context to this. Here's what this is not saying. Like, you're not going to go, well, you can't go to Chick-fil-A today. You're not going to go to Slim Chickens today and pull up, and then your kids have to pay for their own meal. Okay, that's what he's not saying right here. Like, hey, you don't work, you don't get to eat. Sorry, that's not going to work out for us. What he's trying to get at is within relationships, everyone has responsibility. Everyone has weight to pull. And there will be moments when you're in relationships and you're showing love and you're doing everything you can and you're pulling your weight and probably some of someone else's. And Paul's saying, hold on, you literally need to call a timeout here and you need to be truthful with them. But I love throughout this, he balances grace and he balances truth. Again, he says in here, encourage such people. Encourage, show them grace. Verse 15, he says, don't regard them as an enemy, but warn them as a brother, as a family member. He's saying you have to show grace to people. You regard that person, even though they're not in your family, you regard them as a brother and sister in Christ. You encourage them and you warn them. Have you ever warned somebody of something that you don't love? I mean, that's not a normal thing to warn somebody, right? I mean, you warn people because you care about them, right? Hey, something is coming. We need to be aware. I want you to be saved from whatever this thing is. You know, it's like, well, even this past week with the cold, I don't know how many people texted me and were like, hey, did you leave your cabinets open? Are your faucets dripping? Are you doing this? Are you doing this? Are you doing this? We do that not to belittle the person, like, hey, you should probably do this because I know you're not smart enough to. But instead, hey, I just want you to know, if you don't do this, you're gonna wake up tomorrow without water. By the way, we did wake up without water on Tuesday. I was the person that wasn't smart enough to leave our faucets dripping. But I left the cabinets open. Not that it helped at all. But you warn people because you love them. That's the grace side. But then he has the truthful side. He says, wait, if they're not willing to work, if they're not willing to pull their weight, sorry, they're just not going to get to eat then that day. You know. And again, this is a different context. It's a different time 2,000 years ago. But we can come back to this idea of loving without rescuing. And again, this is applied totally different. Some people could do something and for them it's not rescuing, but for another person it is, because it depends on the nuances of the relationships that you are in. Boundary number two, lovingly have tough conversations. How many people here, is anybody like love conflict? Does anyone love confrontation? Anybody wake up on Monday and say, I'm gonna give it to that person today? Wes, did you raise your hand? Okay. Most of us don't like conflict. Most of us don't like confrontation. I like super, super drastically hate confrontation. I cannot stand it. I feel like uncomfortable inside. I'm like, ooh, I'm like nervous, even though I shouldn't be. I don't like confrontation at all. So when it comes to lovingly having tough conversations, I'm like, how about I love you and we just forget the tough conversation? How about we forget the confrontation that may need to happen? But remember these ideas of boundaries. It's not just for you. It's also for this other person. And approaching conflict is a lot like approaching a porcupine. It may sound weird, but Ashlyn, go ahead and show this video real quick. There probably is no sound, and that's okay. You can see this cute little boy walking to the porcupine. There's another one. This is obviously has sound as well, but look at the difference. Right in the face. There we go. So, the difference there. You have one porcupine who this little cute little boy is just walking along with, right? Very gentle. You have another porcupine, just a little background, because I know all of you probably watch kids' movies 7 times a day like I do. That second porcupine had just been broken up with, and she was really upset. So she made her a love song and played guitar, and she was real upset. And she was mad, and you saw the difference. But when it comes to conflict, when it comes to conflict resolution, we can approach it like the first video where we're nice and gentle, or we can approach it like the second video and it's not gentle and it's harsh and things will not come off maybe the way that you're hoping. And remember what we said earlier when it comes to do with having these conversations. Colossians 3, 12 through 13. And this isn't the whole thing. I cut a little bit of this out. Put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, right? Going into those conversations with the other person in mind, not just, I'm offended, I'm going to let you know. It's probably what Wes kind of thinks. Hey, I got a problem. Now it's time for you to hear this. But thinking through, how does this other person feel? Okay, they did offend me, but why? Why are we needing to call a timeout? What are they thinking? Maybe what was their motive? Maybe it didn't come off the way they intended. This is hard for me to say. I had to call a timeout with my mom last October. I had to confront my mother. I don't know if any of you have ever had to confront a parent. It's really awkward, okay? I didn't enjoy doing this, but here's a little bit of context. So Piper was born in October, and my mom came down and stayed with us, I don't know, a week or 5 days. I don't really remember anything from that time very well. It's hard to remember. But my mom came down and stayed with us, and so we're inside, and we have a, you know, three-year-old, two-and-a-half-year-old, you know, just her tornado spinning around the house as fast as he can, tearing everything up, you know, ripping blinds off the wall, whatever he's doing, curtains. And then we have a baby that eats every 45 minutes, you know, needs 30 diapers changed every day. All of that is happening. And my sweet mother, Mom, I know you're watching right now. I love you. She is. She texted me this morning and said she'd be watching. She was outside power washing the house. Like, she's cleaning the windows, she takes the screens off, she's picking up the backyard, and Kelsey and I are sitting inside, like, half asleep. We probably haven't showered in a week. We can't find our toothbrush because Oliver took it and put it somewhere. And my mom's cleaning, like, power washing the house. We're like, wait, no. We're frustrated, and we said, wait a second. This is not going to work. So I sat my mom down, and I said, Mom, I need you to know something. I am so glad that you're here staying with us. It is a joy, and it is a help. Anybody that's had a newborn, you know it helps to have people help you and not to be alone. Man, it was awesome. I said, Mom, it is so good to have you here. But this isn't working. Here's what we need. We need you to take Oliver to the park or the Amazium. And we need, you know, maybe to hold Piper, to get Oliver down for a nap or to make some mac and cheese for him. Instead, we're both sitting in here trying to figure out each other's names. And you're washing our house and making our deck look good. We don't have a deck. Our back porch, whatever it is. And I was just like, Mom, hold on. So we had to call time out. But here's the really cool thing. And this is so encouraging to me. The rest of that trip, and then she came back a couple weeks later. So much better. And here's why. My mom felt empowered when she came back. Because she knew that what she was doing, hey, I'm going to take Oliver. You guys spend time together. Hey, I'm going to take Piper and do this. You guys spend time together. Hey, I'm going to take both kids and just go drive for an hour just so you can have the house. My mom knew. She felt empowered as a grandma and as a mom because of the boundary we put in. She knew that what she was doing was what we needed. Not necessarily, I mean, I would love for my mom to come clean my house. Everyone in this room would love for someone to come clean their house, and I get that. That's just not what we needed at the moment. We kind of need it now, so I want to go back on this conversation and see if my mom wants to come clean the house. But it impacted her. it empowered her to be a better grandma, to be a better mom, and to know what needs that we needed, and then we weren't frustrated. So when it comes to implementing boundaries, when it comes to calling a timeout on a relationship, I want you guys to remember it's not just for you. You are impacting this other person. And at first, it might be awkward. You know, there might be some feelings that are hurt, and you're going to have to kind of go through this and figure this out. But most of the time, you're going to come out on the other side, and both parties are now better because of the conversations that you have had. I want to go ahead. I'm going to invite the band back up. We're going to sing one final song, and I want to close today with just saying a couple things. When it comes to relationships, relationships are important. Relationships are a gift. They are literally created and implemented by God. And we have to come into these relationships knowing that God has blessed us with them. And we try to balance out the grace. And we try to balance out the truth. You know, for some of you, as you leave today, you're going to go home and make a call tonight. You're going to go home and make a call this week. And you're going to let somebody know, hey, I need to put a boundary in our life. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what your boundary looks like. I don't know what your specific relationships look like. But you're having to implement that boundary. And what some of you need to do is you need to grab the ottoman and you need to sit it down. Oh, that's really low. And you need to call a timeout. You need to talk to that person and say, hold on, I love you so much, we need to have this conversation. I care about you so much, we need to have this conversation. Because our relationship matters to me. And I'm not going to allow you to get frustrated. I don't want me to get frustrated. I don't want us struggling with control. And I don't want to be harsh with you. And I mean, all of these different things that can happen. But hold on. Let's just talk about this. Let's figure out what this looks like. You set the ottoman down, and you call the time out, and you implement a boundary. I want to close with this verse. Colossians 4:6, and this is from the Passion Version. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth. Did you guys see that? Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth. That is our call in every relationship. Because God has called us to love. God has given us the ability to love. And so this morning I want to encourage you guys, it's okay to call time out in your relationships. It's okay to get the ottoman out, sit on it, and say, hey, we need to talk about what is going on. I want to pray with you guys this morning. I want to pray for you. Just as you leave here, the relationships you guys are going to be in, and we're going to sing another song. You guys don't mind, go ahead and stand with me. And let me just pray for you and pray with you. God, we thank you. We thank you for the relationships that you have given us. I never knew I could love as much as I do until I had Oliver. But now I'm putting an ottoman in his room and I'm putting anchors in the wall and hanging curtains again. God, I, you have given us relationships. You have given us love. And God, within these relationships, you call us to show grace and to show truth, to balance these things so that our heart is full, that our heart is guarded, so that we don't run out of energy, so that we don't become exhausted with people, but we can continually show the love that you have given us to show. Lord, I pray a blessing on everyone in this room, everyone watching right now or maybe watching later this week. God, that they can guard their hearts. They can have the conversations that they need to have because their heart matters and the heart of the other person matters. God, they can bless them in the conversations, in the boundaries, in the timeout that they need to have. God, we love you. And we invite you in this week. Lord, I invite you in to the hearts and minds of these people this week. Lord, bless them. Be with them. Lift them up. God, we love you and we thank you. And God, we go into this final song. We want to raise a hallelujah to you. We want to raise an amen to you, God, and to worship you. So let's do that. In Jesus' name, amen.